rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Oh, hi, Lizzie.
How are you doing on this rainy day?
I'm doing very well. This is my weather. I like this kind of weather.
Great.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. We're in the week of punk farming. That's the theme. And this episode is on GMO. And sometimes, many times, we start our YouTube video. We're over on YouTube where we have a video version of our podcasts. And most days we punk connect with a prayer, and Lakes just said a really beautiful prayer. And it's appropriate because of, you know, we talk about things that are more lighthearted, and we're going to try to present this topic of GMO in a way that's not trying to tell the whole story, but tell it in a way that hopefully is meaningful. So... we always like to start with what the definition of punk is for us, and the Legs and Lizzie definition of punk is unity, DIY, nonconformity, strength, speaking out against injustice, community, compassion, equality and peace, and damn good music. And we started this week with a song of the day where you can pause the podcast, perhaps listen to the song if you'd like, or you can wait till the end. And the song for today is The Interrupters. The song is titled As We Live, and it's a song written by Tim Armstrong and Rhoda Dakar. And you know Tim Armstrong.
Yes,
Tim Armstrong. Not personally.
Not personally. So he's the main singer in Rancid. And he's an East Bay native, and he writes some really good music, and that's a really good song.
And Lake shared before when we play the songs, we play the song for ourselves. We can't obviously play it for licensing reasons on the podcast, but because it's the Punk Farm Love Life podcast, we thought we'd add some music in. And you mentioned that when you first heard The Interrupters, we saw them at the Punk Rock Bowling Festival last year, 2023, and that you thought Amy Allen's voice sounded like Tim Armstrong's wife's voice?
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife.
So Brody from the Distillers, who's married to a different person now, who's also a musician, they sound similar. In a good way, because they're really both badass women that can really sing. And and then when I just heard this song and found out who wrote the co-writer of this song, I was like, wow, that's really pretty cool. Yeah.
And I got this t-shirt for the show while I had just been listening to their music in preparation to going to the Punk Rock Bowling Festival. And it has Love is an Action on this side, and Start With Yourself on this side. And I had heard this song both listening to their music and at the concert, but truthfully, I hadn't really focused in on it, except that when I was listening to the music, I finally heard the song that had this in it. And it's just a beautiful song. It's a fast ska, wouldn't you say?
It's ska song.
Yeah, yeah. Very fast ska song. And life is for dancing, life is for moving, as long as I'm breathing, I'm renewing, and as long as we live, or as we live, this is the time for love, is the chorus, and lots of cool punk lyrics. If the fall of the Western civilization, leave the bus and arrive at the station, music vocation, stereo citation, peace and love, raise the world vibration. And I just listen, that's all I can say. And I think it's an appropriate song for our topic today. We're gonna get started with Legs talking about some GMO related to a co-op and his past in Berkeley. I turn it over to you for a little
bit. Thank you. So Today we're talking about GMO, non-GMO. So let's first define what GMO actually really means for those of you who might not. It technically means genetically modified organism, but we're referring to food specifically today. And so the issue has been, including for me, is what, when I go to the grocery store, what does GMO mean? What does non-GMO mean? What does the packaging mean? What should we do? And so as I started researching it, like everything for this podcast, I learned something more and more. And so GMO, technically, if you're not aware, is where food has been genetically modified. And that in itself just gives me like the willies, thinks of like a Frankenstein kind of thing. But I'm not going to be doom and gloom here. This is not going to be a fire and brimstone on my end, possibly, talk about the differences. The main thing is, though, that we hope you understand is that there are many countries out there. So first I have to say, U.S. is a number one producer of GMO products. And that corn, all corn or most corn and soy that's produced in the U.S., is genetically modified. And it's my understanding that I know they will say that it's because they can create these crops that'll grow and feed the world and reduce poverty and so forth. But for me, what I get most out of it is that they've genetically modified it so that they can spray Roundup indiscriminately and that it allows them to get rid of the weeds within their crops, the farmers, and use Roundup. And then what happens is that the weeds in between the crops that's been used to getting the Roundup become sort of immune to it. And then the ones outside also get the spray, and then there's the runoff. So I think probably Lizzie is well more versed on this. So I'm going to let her, when I'm done with my part, talk about that. But it's interesting that currently 26 countries in the world, France, Germany, Italy, Mexico, Russia, China, and India, 19 of these countries are in the European Union, have partially or fully banned GMOs. It's illegal in Mexico to grow genetically modified corn since 2020. And so there are people out there that are concerned about it. And for me, I know there's some confusion on organic, not organic, and how all that comes into play. And again, I'm sort of setting the stage for you to talk about this because I want to learn more. So from that, I'm not going to go into all the details. What I'm going to talk about, though, is this wonderful store in Chico. And it's called Chico Natural Food Cooperative, or Co-op. And for any of you that are not aware what a co-op is, it's a business that has decided that anyone can be a member. Anyone can be an owner, I should say. And this is the case with the Chico Natural Food Co-op. The reason that I find this interesting, and I like going to the store, and we went to it the other day, is that I was born in Berkeley. Yes, I'm one of the people that was actually born in Berkeley, and the place that I was born is no longer a hospital, but it serves a purpose. There was a grocery store, supermarket called the Co-op, and that's the only place my parents would shop at. And what I remember as a kid, it's green. So I like, and that's my favorite color. And so what's cool is that there seemed to be this camaraderie, a group of people, including my parents and what I thought were really cool friends. A lot of people nowadays might think they're bizarre or different or what have you, but that's why I love punk, is because they fall into that category. They all love this place. They had a say. They were allowed to vote. They were allowed to own it. Parts of it they could share in the profits. I know it changed over the years. It's no longer there, I believe. But I liked the aspect. My parents explained to me, even at a young age, what it was about. And that it was a community of people in Berkeley and that area that could participate in what they were buying day in and day out. My parents, especially my father, was ahead of the curve. I thought he was weird at the time, but now I'm realizing he wasn't when it came to eating healthy. And it had its moments, and but you know, I was taking, and excuse my way of pronouncing it, but I'm just not gonna change my brain. I had to take vitamins at a very young age, and these all came from co-op, where, you know, every morning I'd get up and in the egg carton for each kid, you know, they would put individually all the vitamins we had to take for the day. And we ate really healthy food. And I remember it came from there. And so I still remember exactly where they were. I believe they are now different, you know, supermarkets, but they were there and I loved it. So back to Chico. We went and visited. It's a beautiful place. They're remodeling it. It's it, for all of you, if you ever want to check it out, it's at 1818 Main Street in Chico. There are actually 2,400 active owners, and they do receive a profit every year from the store. And it was started in 1973 by 15 Chico families. This is also important to Lizzie and I, is because we're actually moving to Chico. And, you know, I'm looking forward to going there because they had an amazing array of things that we would definitely want to eat. And it's going to be nice to go there and just have things that we know are healthy. And the other thing is, since we're talking about GMO, they have a unique, not unique, but they have decided to address that issue. And so they have issued a paper that I will get to in a second. So they have...
Can I jump in while you're looking for that?
Yeah, I have. Yes, go ahead.
I had found this... I think we were planning on going to Chico, but I came upon their policy on GMO and asked Legs to review it because I think two things. One is, if you're thinking, oh, there's all this, what am I going to do about GMO? You know, there's a few simple things you can do, but one of the most simple is to shop places that have this type of policy. And many of you are probably already shopping those places. And then the very practical way that they put this policy together, not saying, oh, nothing's GMO in the store, or everything has this certain label on it. They have to sell things that people want while making certain choices of what those are going to be, communicating those things. So I'll let you explain that. But I think shopping at a place like a co-op and then learning about food labeling and all of these things from the people selling your food is a great way to learn about it.
I agree. And actually, yeah, you beat me to the punch. Lizzie was the one that said, oh, they have a policy for it. And I'm going, wow, that's really amazing that they were that open to say, you know, what their policies were. And so you dig into it, and it clearly says, it's a downloadable policy that actually can be applied to other places that you shop, because they're kind enough to make references there to things that will help you. So they call it the GMO policy. They do say that they recognize that, you know, they want to try to sell the healthiest foods, organic foods, non-GMO, but sometimes there's in some cases, and what I'm learning is that there's no way to verify always exactly what is in everything. I did learn that, for example, Trader Joe's has non-GMO food, but they have not submitted to third-party testing. They've only done their own in-house testing, and there's no way to verify if, in fact, it says non-GMO, and they're not part of the non-GMO project, which I think probably you're going to talk about at some point. So that's something to look out for. And so they go through the steps that the co-op is taking regarding GMOs, and that it says supporting the labeling of GMOs on all food products and packaging, that they will only introduce new products which are certified organic, non-GMOs verified, and contain no high-risk GMO ingredients. Only those products that are certified organic, non-GMO verified, or contain no high-risk GMO ingredients will be included in promotional displays. So they're really putting their money where their mouth is. They're going to do the best that they can to ensure they're giving their clientele the best option, and they know what their options are.
And I know you may not be reading the whole list, but the fact that any new products coming into the store are going to be non-GMO. So
right.
It sounds like it's been a journey.
Right.
There's some things they probably can't get non-GMO or certified or verified. And so they're saying, you know, we're doing our very best. There might be a few things or some things that we can't verify. But when we bring something new in, we promise you that's going to be non-GMO. And that's a big thing.
And more importantly, the things that are made fresh in their kitchen
mm-hmm.
will meet this policy of certified organic, non-GMO verified, or containing no high-risk GMO ingredients. And so, yes, they are trying their best. What they also do is they list on here a download of a non-GMO shopping guide, from the non-GMOshoppingguide.com website. And in fact, I haven't looked at this yet. There is actually a smartphone application for this guide. And I did look up the guide. And again, I'm not going to do that. So what I'm saying is it goes down and explains to you how to shop, how to even dine out. So, I guess I'd suggest you go to Chico, you check this place out, or find another co-op or store like this in your neighborhood and, you know, talk to them about this. And or see what they're doing regarding this policy. And now I'm going to turn it over to you to discuss your part of the GMO equation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was awesome. Yeah, this is a cozy store. This isn't KP International Foods in Sacramento, which is like a football field of foods and many non-GMO foods.
But it's fun to shop.
Yeah,
it's fun to shop.
I'm sure they have lots of non-GMO there. It's just, this is a cozy store. You definitely wouldn't drive 3 hours because you'd have a similar type of store in your area. But if you're in Chico, definitely check it out. And if you're in Chico or coming to Chico, let us know because we're moving to Chico. Thank you so much. That was perfect. I wanted to just start kind of high level on it and say that if you haven't already seen Kiss the Ground, and I thought Common Ground, the sequel, hadn't come out yet, but Legs let me know that it has. It came out in September of last year. Maybe I was just too cheap at the time to pay for it. Needed to wait for it to come to free streaming, which isn't free because we pay our subscription. But I believe it's on Prime now, and maybe tonight we can watch that.
That'd be great.
So I would say the first thing I would do if you're new to the subject matter, which I, you know, most people aren't, is to watch Kiss the Ground, watch Common Ground. And the overall big picture is nature grows food. Seeds come from plants, and the entire GMO, there's always an attempt to confuse consumers, take their eye away from what really the thing is. And so what you'll often hear about GMO, there aren't enough tests to prove that they're unsafe. Well, that isn't true. There are studies that now are showing that the studies are not conclusive and the money hasn't been poured into it. So there have been studies. It's inconclusive. And that's what the store's information shows. And the pesticides, as you mentioned, are what's used on these crops. The crops are developed to be able to use these pesticides. And these harmful pesticides that now aren't working because the weeds are resistant and more pesticides are being used, and it's very unhealthy. So at this point of the podcast, We haven't been in the weeds, but we're about to get in the weeds, the proverbial weeds,
right,
that the glyphosate, the Roundup is killing, to get into a little more detail. So if it gets to be too much, it's no problem. I think this is such an important topic. And so let's carry on, shall we?
We shall.
So Legs mentioned the Non-GMO Project. It's a great website to just educate yourself. And the Non-GMO Project is a nonprofit organization committed to building and preserving the non-GMO food supply. We offer North America's most trusted certification for GMO avoidance with our butterfly label. Shoppers decide for themselves whether to consume GMOs. And there's other labeling that exists that will inform us. I'm going to skip around on some of the things from the website because you did such an incredible job talking about what it is and the pesticides and all of that. But the Non-GMO Project's website, are GMO safe? In the absence of credible, independent, long-term feeding studies, the safety of GMOs is unknown. So a lot of these things we hear about it being safe, or no, it's not safe, is coming from the industries that are selling all the pesticides and the seeds to the farmers. Legs has already talked about the countries that have require labeling, which foods might contain GMOs. Most packaged and processed foods contain ingredients derived from corn, soy, canola, and sugar beet, and the vast majority are grown in North America. Those crops here, most are genetically modified. There are other products as well. And then it goes on to talk about how it affects farmers, but I think watching Kiss the Ground and Common Ground is a good place to get that information. And then we'll post the Non-GMO Project information on the website. So then we get to the really into the weeds. And there is an excellent article. It's called The Use of Genetically Modified Organism Containing Food Products in Children. And the American Academy of Pediatrics, this is a scientific paper where it assembles a lot of studies and a lot of information to try to help pediatricians and parents figure out, you know, is GMO hurting my kids?
Right.
And I thought this was a really great article. We'll put it in the show notes as well, because the summary section really summarizes all the important facts. And we're going to read the products again. And the biggest thing when you read these products, some of these things, obviously alfalfa, that's going to be a GMO product that's primarily affecting animals. And they're working on studies to see the connection between all of this GMO that animals are eating. And they say there's no connection, although the question that's there, if I'm understanding it correctly, is they've proven that, you know, the eating the beef itself isn't harming you, but then we have such an intricate gut microbiome that a lot of our endocrine system issues that people have. I'm in the middle of the Ritual podcast where this neurologist is talking about dementia and just this increase in dementia and all of this that's going on right now and all of the health issues. Apples, canola, corn, cottonseed, papaya, potatoes, soybeans, yellow squash, and zucchini, and sugar beets. And so obviously the big ones are the soy and the corn.
Can I just interject one thing? If anybody, you think this is an old list, this came out in January 2024. So it's a current, relatively current list of items.
And this article is very current. So I'm going to read this summary and summarize it as best I can, but GMO-containing food products are widely found in the food supply in the United States, but originate from a relatively narrow list of 10 genetically engineered crops. So this is, they are summarizing this scientific article. Most of the food-based products derived from GMO crops are found in the ultra-processed foods and animal feed. So when people tell you where to shop in the supermarket, it's the outside of the store, or the refrigerated section of the store, or the produce aisle, and not all the middle with all the processed food. I've heard that. People say that when you're trying to be healthier. GMO foods meeting certain criteria, there are many exceptions for smaller food companies, restaurants, and travel-based food distribution must be labeled as GMO-containing, since January 1, 2022. Stores can continue to sell older stocks of unlabeled foods. So this could be an example for, say, the co-op, which, you know, might have some older things, or other bigger stores that have got a big stock of something. Although GMO technology can be used to increase the micronutrient contents of foods, there is currently little use of these techniques to increase the nutritional value of foods, and no reason to expect this to be a significant source of micronutrients in the U.S. diet in the near future. So the doctors, the Pediatric Association, is saying, one of the sales points, we went to see the GMO purple tomato presentation, and we will talk about that at a future date so we can formulate something that's just not accidentally saying something.
Snarky comment.
I will say that part, though, of the goal of this crop is to get consumers to embrace it, to then open up I won't say floodgate, but that's what was about to come out, public opinion on GMO. But in the presentation, the fact that it's healthy, this micronutrients or the nutrient value of a purple tomato is being sold, and they're saying here that that's not expected to really be a big factor in these foods, because a lot of these foods are being used in processed foods and everything else. Glyphosate, the principal herbicide used in the production of GMO food crops, has been classified by the International Agency for Research on Cancer as probably carcinogenic to humans. Bayer/Monsanto is paid out for some lawsuits already. Measurable quantities, residues of glyphosate and other herbicides are now found in many GMO foods. Prenatal exposures to glyphosate are reported to be associated with increased risk of preterm birth and utero endocrine disruption in children, but the impact of glyphosate residues on child health remained complex and incompletely understood. Maybe if we don't understand it, we should just maybe hold off eating it.
Right. And then the other thing is, real quickly, what I read was, because Roundup with glyphosate has been used so much, they now have another herbicide available that they're using that is stronger to replace Roundup, that is now, nobody has tested.
Dicamba is one, and there's another one, and it's in this article. If you want to dig into it and read it, it's in this article. So the Roundup's not working as much, so they're using these more powerful pesticides.
Exactly.
And one of those two was used in Agent Orange. And
remember, Monsanto was the one that produced DDT, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. Pediatricians who counsel families will find it helpful to be aware of the distinctions between organic, non-GMO, and bioengineered labeling. So they're just letting them know you can educate yourself on that. There's families who wish to minimize GMO products can do so by focusing on a dietary pattern of primarily whole plant-based foods while minimizing ultra-processed foods. Families who desire to completely avoid GMO products can do so by purchasing organic products or those labeled as non-GMO based on third-party testing. Organic farmers are not allowed to use GMO seeds, GMO animal feed, GMO ingredients or conventional pesticides, antibiotics in farm animals, sewage sludge, and irradiation. Each family makes the ultimate decision about whether to avoid GMO foods, but pediatricians can minimize fear-based messaging and support families through shared decision-making. Schools and hospitals dedicated to the care of children can consider avoiding serving GMO foods to minimize glyphosate exposure when alternatives are available and affordable. Further research opportunities are robust and include possible long-term health effects of GMO-containing foods, including carcinogenesis, as well as the potential benefits of nutritional modulation of foods, including GMO technology. Additional research on the best approaches for consumer messaging is also highly relevant in the efforts to improve child health through the continued promotion of fruits, vegetables, and other minimally processed, culturally concordant, nourishing foods. So that was a lot. That was a lot. But here is the American Academy of Pediatrics, with a lot of pressure, I'm sure. There was a little mushroom cloud that went up over Bayer, a few miles in here, one in California, and St. Louis, and the other, Syngenta's another one. You know, I'm sure they wish that this hadn't come out, but I think even though it's oriented to children, it probably was a way for them to say, here's our most vulnerable little bodies, and we're gonna lay out what we know. What exactly. Did you think about that? I know that was very detailed.
Well, first of all, I have to say, if all of you listening don't realize, we feel really strongly about this, and that hopefully by the Academy of Pediatrics doing this, and you know, we both have children, we've dealt with pediatricians and gone in the office and gotten advised on things, that if they're advising the parents, people will learn, and it's a start. And what's interesting, when I was doing my research, even though there has not been, they claim, anything definitive that GMO does this, that, and the other thing, 51% of people surveyed in the United States think that GMO is not healthy. And so if that's the case, there's this perception out there, and if we can get more people to actually really take a look at some of these items that they put in their bodies every day, a change can start. A change has to start at some point. And the thing is that, you know, right now Bayer is fighting in other areas because they're saying Roundups is safe, and they're, you know, fighting all that. And they're probably not focusing on this article per se. They probably said, okay, we'll get to that. Now's a chance, everyone, to start the process of making sure your kids are okay and teach them, because ultimately the next generations will have a say on what's going to happen with their food source and how healthy it's going to be in the future. And I think this is really incredible that they were willing to do this.
At our purple GMO tomato presentation, they did a consumer study, and it seemed to show that people would be interested in eating it. And they attempted to kind of say that meant their consumer sentiment was changing, because this is they're out still trying to raise money and all of those things. And I think that if you catch people in a certain walking down the street, or catch a consumer and you show some beautiful tomato and you're asking, would you be interested in eating this, it's much different than just sitting someone down and saying, do you want to eat GMO food? You know, their answer may be no, right?
Well, I have a question. Didn't you say that in the natural world, there are purple tomatoes already?
Yes, and we have probably half of the tomatoes we just planted in our greenhouse are heirloom tomatoes. So genetically, they exist. This GMO is taking the genetics from the snapdragon flower and putting it over in the tomato. And I think that they're hoping that if it's accepted by consumers, then people will start saying, oh yeah, well there's this tomato. The GMO pineapple was beautiful, the pink pineapple. We have so many beautiful fruits and vegetables that nature has modified, that farmers have over time made different crosses. And so that's another argument, that it's different. Well, you know, if something takes years to kind of change versus sitting in a laboratory. So enough about that. It's just to say nature, we're just decided to stick with nature.
Well, you know, it's funny, is that people will go out and they say, oh, this natural beauty is so amazing. You know, look at what the universe has created. But then when it comes to their food, they don't, not everybody, but people sometimes don't care that if nature is altered with. And we haven't even gotten to the whole, you know, the whole weeds thing about cross-contamination, where there's natural plants and food out there that could be cross-contaminated by GMO products, that they don't even know what's going to happen with that.
Well, that's why that's why these countries are saying no.
Exactly.
Because once it's out, it's out. And we don't want to get into that tone of, like, the conspiracy crazies. We'll just stay a little crazy.
Yeah. But again, it goes back to Frankenstein thing. I just think of them in the lab creating a purple tomato going, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive. And going, oh my gosh, what have we created? And then it gets, so anyway.
Thank you. Is there anything else on that?
No, I think that's great. I think we got our point across. And I think hopefully we'd love to hear from you and hear what you have to think, because, I'm sure we'll have a few people saying how they think. And we'd be interested to hear about it, because it's important to us.
We would. And we'll remind you, we have a nice, our favorite seeds we like. We have a free download in the show notes. And we also have a YouTube channel where we kind of chat a little bit after we turn the podcast off. And we just hope to see you wherever's convenient, and we're really grateful for you.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Punk Farm.
Love life.
See you soon.
Take care.
Rogers pony down life's lane, searching for the wild of all the pain.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote balling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain. He knows he'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Oh, strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why. To the heavens, there's only friend alone. he's right. So damn few of all. There's Jensen Weed and Tom Weed. Join the party, join the crowd. Let the hyenas circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. Here we turn. If it has to happen, let them fire.